thank you and praise you. Amen. On the day of your resurrection, Amen. Your church can get together here. Amen. Lord, we have nothing, but we are nothing, but you are everything to us. Amen. Lord, we give ourselves to you. Amen. We pray that you will be with us. Amen. Give us a rich presence. Lord, we thank you, we praise you. Apply your victorious blood to cleanse us and cover us. And under your blood, we can come to you. Right. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We give this meeting to you. We want you to give us the rich anointing. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We are your church. We are your body. So we're one with you. Lord Jesus, we praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, lately, in the past few weeks, we are on the session of the book of Genesis, the first book. And when we come to the book of Genesis, then you have the Abraham and Isaac and what?
Jacob,
right. And if you only look at Abraham and Isaac, probably you will not have too many questions. But once you get into Jacob, I don't know about you, but when I was young, I had a lot of question marks. Because it's very clear that Jacob was not a nice guy. Rather, that he's terrible. But yet, it seems that the Lord liked him. And so we can see that this Jacob, he was not an upright person. And he was very, at least we can say that he's very self-centered and selfish and even not honest. And so why the Lord loved him? So here you have in the book of Romans chapter 9, verse 9. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, no, chapter 9, right. Verse 9 to verse 13. Let us read these few verses together. Sign. Yeah, here it says very clearly, what? In verse 13, and what then shall we say? Yes, now, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And so, when I was young, for many years, I could not understand this. And especially our God is a righteous God. How could he love Jacob and hated Esau? Okay, I'm not trying to explain the verses. But I just share with you some of my feelings when I was young. Then later, how the Lord opened my eyes to see why or what happened here in the Bible. So, and I just share with you what I have enjoyed, and then afterwards you can share what you enjoy. And so, but anyway, let's come back to Jacob. So, the Lord has mentioned here very clearly, he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau I have hated. So how could a righteous God like a person like Esau? Our impression, at least my impression, was Esau was a more honest person, and he's very simple, and he was not complicated, and so he should be to be liked. But yet God said he hated Esau. That's a strong word, right? And then God said he loved Jacob. How can God love Jacob? So then, because I believe all of us, at least most of us, at least in my family, my parents always teach me I have to be nice, I have to be honest, and I have to be a good guy. And so then it seems that once you come to Romans chapter 9, then everything reversed. It seems that we should be someone like Jacob. And so then all the other things our parents teach us and our teachers teach us, all what? All go into the what? But anyway, it seems that now we are in the Bible. How could the Bible say something like this? So then, until later, I discover in the Bible, both Paul and also Peter said the same thing. What did they say? And so I think you have read this. You have 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Okay. So this is what Peter said. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Yeah, so this 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 actually is quoted in many different places. And so let's read 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 again. Exercise our spirit, okay? Chosen according to one which of sent his spirit to obedience of Jesus Christ to this most high. Okay, so here Peter said what I want you to pay attention to is that it says that it says, with verse 2 says, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and the peace be multiplied. Amen. Now here I just want you to pay attention to this word. That is what? According to the foreknowledge. According to the foreknowledge. And God chose or does select according to his foreknowledge. And we know our God is God. He's not limited by time, and he's not limited by space. So our God, he always can have this foreknowledge. So he knew things. And what did he know concerning the book of Genesis? He knew one thing, that is Jacob. He knew what is Jacob is like. And he also knew who would be, or what kind of a person Esau will be. God knew. God had his selection according to his foreknowledge. And so don't have any question mark on our Lord. Our Lord is righteous. Our Lord has his likes and dislikes. And so if we go turn to Genesis chapter 25, let's turn to chapter Genesis chapter 25. Let's turn to that chapter. Okay. Then let's read this chapter 25 from 7 to 30. Okay, so let's read from Genesis chapter 25. From what to what? From 29 to 34. Okay, let's all read from verse 29 to verse 34. And so here, for many years, I thought Jacob steal something. No, actually, when you read this, Jacob did not steal anything. Right. He actually sold it. And so you cannot say Jacob is 100% a bad guy. But at least he gave Esau something. And here you can see that with Jacob, it seemingly that he was very tricky and very, I cannot say he's 100% dishonest. But anyway, he paid attention to certain things, and he liked certain things. What are the things Jacob liked? He liked the spiritual things. He likes and he treasures the what? The birthright. And so he wants to give his brother something to buy this birthright. And what is Esau's attitude? Esau's attitude is he did not care for any spiritual things. He only cared for material things. So he said, what is the birthright? I cannot see it. I cannot touch it. And rather, I'm hungry and I want to have some food. Not only food. Red lentil. That sounds delicious, right? So, but regardless of what happened, this Esau only pay attention to the material things, not pay attention to the spiritual things. I believe this is why God loves Jacob, God hates what? Esau. So here we know that if you turn to the Second Corinthians chapter 4. Let's all turn to Second Corinthians chapter 4. And chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the last verse, verse 18. Let us read this verse together. Because we do not report the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So let's read this again with strong spirit, okay? Because we do not regard the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So this verse is a very key verse. We Christians, what should be our attitude? What should be the things that we really treasure, and what are the things we should not pay that much attention to? So here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says very clearly, Paul said this, he says, because we do not regard the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So I really pray that the Lord will be merciful to all of us. So what are the things that really precious? Only those things that have eternal value. And so, you know, we just had the 1 week perfecting training in New Jersey. And so we really pay much attention to this. And why? Because today, I'm sorry to say that many of us and many young adults and sometimes ourselves pay more attention to the material things, and they don't care for the spiritual things. And that's why sometimes, especially many young ones, that it's easy to be carried away by many material things in this world. And therefore, my burden, my feeling is, when we come to this portion, don't just see that Jacob is terrible. Whether he's terrible or not, let God to judge. But one thing is clear, Jacob cares for the spiritual things. And so when he was in the wilderness and he had a dream, and that we believe that this dream is somewhat related to what? To what he is interested in. So that is what? That is the ladder. And this letter is what? It's Christ himself. Christ is the one that bring us into the heaven and bring the heaven to the earth. And today, this letter, this living Christ, shall be everything to us. Only this has the eternal value. And today, just because we want to get a little bit more salary or a little bit more this or that, and then sometimes we sacrifice the spiritual things and sacrifice the meetings or whatever. So today, I don't know how many young people are here. So I would say this Jacob is what? He has this one good thing, is that he is interested in the Lord. He is interested in the spiritual things, and he's interested in the eternal things. But today, I'm not just speaking to any young ones, I'm talking to myself, and I'm talking about all of us. It is not just for you or for me, it is for God himself. We repeated this many times in the past. That is why God created man according to his own image. It's because God had his purpose, his internal purpose with us. And here, so that's why not only God created us according to his own image, but he also gave us the dominion. A few weeks ago, I did specifically talk about this matter of dominion. And God gave us the dominion. Why? It's over the fish of the sea, over the birds, and over the cattle, and over the whole earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So I think all of us, we have to pay attention to this. So God created us with a definite purpose. On the positive side, he wants to use all of us. That is the church, to express God. A healthy church should be a church that express God to people. If a church is full of the flesh, full of death, that is not the reality of the church. Then that defeats the purpose why God wants to create us. So may the Lord be merciful to us. And here in the summer training, and the first concerning the last meetings, that you have this they God is a corporate one. He does not want, when we say God wants the church, that is the corporate man, to express God. And here, this is not a small thing. Does the church, does the body of Christ really express God? Our God is life. And in John chapter 10, the Lord said very clearly, I come that they may have life. And we said many times that why the New Testament did not choose any other language to write, only use Greek. Because Greek is the only language that has three words for life. One is bios, that is physical life. Another is psyche, that is psychological life. And another word is what? Zoe. And this word Zoe, you cannot find in any other language, but this Zoe is the divine life. And therefore, when we read the New Testament, right away we know what kind of life the Lord is talking about. And so when the Lord said, I am a good shepherd, I come to what? Our Lord come to give us the life, and give this life abundantly. And what the Lord wants to give to us? The Lord wants to give Himself to us, and He is the life, and He is the Zoe. Not only He wants to give life to us, He wants to give life abundantly. This is God's, His purpose. This is what God wants to us to have. And so in verse 11, it says that I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd, what? Laid down his life. So he died for us. And what is the word he used? He used the word suki. In other words, our Lord, He died for us. And He died His humanity, he as a person, as a real person, He died for us. He paid the wages of sin for us. So these things should be very clear to all of us. We really need to go to the Lord, not just for ourselves, not for our own opinions, not for everything, you, me, and whatever. We need to see our Lord loves us. He died for us. And so what? So our God can gain a corporate person, corporate man, that is the church, to express God and to have the dominion, the authority of God to what? To deal with the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so to us, on one hand, we are nothing. We are nobody. But on the other hand, we have to see what tremendous opportunity, what is a tremendous thing the Lord has charged us to do. To have the dominion is not for other purposes. To have us to have dominion is specifically to deal with the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now we should all know very clearly who is the creeping thing. We all know. Because in chapter 3, the creeping thing creeps in. And so they damage Adam and Eve. They damage the humanity. They damage human beings. We all need to see that today we are in a spiritual warfare in this universe. And this, you know, this spiritual warfare is the biggest warfare in this universe. And we said in the past, God did not want to lower His position to deal with another creature. So God created us. We have the commission, we have the mission that we need to deal with creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So today, we cannot take it lightly that we just have some enjoyment by ourselves, and we just want to be something that is good for me, that's good enough. No, we have to see what is the church, what the church's mission is, and what is the church that really has the reality of the church. All these things are our responsibility for everybody. Because who is the church? The church is everyone here, all the believers here. And so what should we do? We need to, together, we need to, what? We need to express life, the divine life. And so if we do not express life, if we all the time spread the death, then you kill the reality of the church. This is a serious matter. So I just feel when we are coming to this place, this portion, that it is not accidental. We believe it is God's sovereign arrangement. So at this time, and we have this portion. So we have to see. If you really want to please the Lord, you need to do what? You need to like the things God likes. And if we don't want to, if you don't want to offend the Lord, then it's better don't do things, offend God. And if, when you say offend God, actually it's offend the church. So in the Bible, and especially in 1 Corinthians, it tells us clearly that when it talks about our personal body, we have many members, and but one, what? Many members, then what? One body. But did he say one body? He did not say one body. What did he say? And so also the Christ. So now I got you. but anyway, we have to see. In God's eyes, the church is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is Christ. And so I hope that all these basic things, we all need to be very clear. We ourselves, we love the Lord, and the Lord loves us. And I believe all of you, you love the Lord. And how can we, so if you love the Lord, then how can you make the one you love that to make God happy? So then we need to do what God wants us to do. We love the things that God loves. We hate the things God hates. And so I just want to use this opportunity to share this burden to you. And I believe I have given you enough time to prophesy. Okay, so I just share this. And so our God is always righteous. Don't think that he is without any reasons, that why he loves Jacob and hates Esau. It's because this Jacob, he wanted the spiritual things, and he even have seen the corporate person. And so that is exactly our God loves. Our God wants to gain. That's why he loves Jacob. And why the Lord hates Esau? Because Esau only cares for his stomach. He didn't care for what God wants. and may the Lord be merciful to us, so we all can see these pictures that the Bible has shown to us, so that don't miss the opportunity to miss these wonderful things and lights in the Bible. So I stop here.
Since the brother took less time today, I would like to say something concerning the time after we speak. We're all different. We all have different capacities, spiritual and natural. Some may feel they have a lot that they could share. Others may feel they don't have much. But the point is, the Bible tells us that we need to do good, especially to those of the household of faith. Right. Household of faith is us. So once you have the time to prophesy. And by the way, to prophesy in the New Testament is not mainly to predict, but rather to minister Christ, to minister life. Actually, we have two verses concerning prophesying that are very good. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to men. And the end of verse 4, he who prophesies builds up the church. So this is what we're concerned. This is why we are here. We're here to build the church. All right. Now, the longer you speak, the less life there will be. This is a fact. I would like to share with you an experience I had. When I was working, I went to a management seminar, and I was assigned to prepare something. What did I have to prepare? PowerPoint presentation with an introduction, a main section, and a conclusion in 1 minute. I thought I'd give up right away. But I buried myself in the material, and I was shocked. I was able to give an introduction, a main section, and a conclusion in a PowerPoint in 1 minute. Therefore, we all can do it. So I would encourage all of you to share short. Amen. Not that I like to share short, but the longer you share, the more possibility that you would come out and not the Lord. So I make a suggestion. Now, I don't like to tell people what to do. But because we're talking about prophesying that builds up the church, we need to help one another. Last Lord's Day, most of the sharing was very long. You don't need to give the message again. So I would propose, if you don't do it, I won't get mad. I won't get upset. But I would propose that from now on, during the prophesying time, one brother or sister would stand up and speak. And another one would stand up to be ready for when that person finishes. And when you're speaking and you see somebody else waiting, I believe your speaking might be less. So we will continue in the coming week with a morning watch in Genesis. You can enjoy the morning revival and prepare something for Friday and for the Lord's Day. Now is the time to pray. The language meetings would go to their meetings, and then you can share what you have enjoyed. Let's pray.